Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn there to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 33, we'll be taking our text from. Exodus 33, and I want to look at verses 12 through 23 tonight, Lord willing, on a message I've titled here from the text, Show Me Thy Glory, Exodus 33. And when you get there, if you're able to stand, let's please stand for the reading of God's Word tonight. Exodus 33, starting with verse 12. And here the Bible says, And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cliff of a rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm praying now that you help us, Lord, to get the best understanding from this text that we possibly can. Lord, just illuminate it through the Holy Spirit, and God, that you'll be glorified in it. Keep me out of the flesh and out of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, here in our opening text, we find God's chosen man, Moses. We all know his story. He was called by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. Moses didn't ask for that job. He didn't want the job. In fact, he told the Lord, You found the wrong man, Lord. I can't do any of this. And the Lord finally convinced him, You're going to lead my people. You're the man I chose. And he told him he would even send his brother there to speak for him because Moses made all those excuses. He couldn't speak and everything else. But it turns out Moses did learn how to speak pretty well. But he was obedient to the Lord, and he went and started on the job that God gave him. And it was a tough job. These Israelites here that had been in bondage, they were set in their ways. I mean, the Bible calls them over and over and over stiff-necked people. This is a person that you're not changing their mind very easy. A stiff-necked person, they've got their mind set up on something, and once it's set, buddy, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to change it. Well, they were stiff-necked. They would not do what they were supposed to do. They were just set in their ways. And so Moses had a big job ahead of him. And what had just happened right before this, and by the way, this is one of the most pivotal moments in the life of the Israelites, because at this moment right here, it's going to make a drastic change. It can go one way or the other. If God doesn't listen to Moses, Moses is up here making intercession for the children of Israel. They've done messed up. Moses had already been up there speaking with God. He'd give him the commandments, and Moses came down, and the children of Israel, and while he was gone for 40 days, built a golden calf. And the Lord saw it, and he said he's going to destroy these people. Well, by this time, things had gotten so far out of control, it looked like that was going to be it for the children of Israel. God was just going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And so Moses now has gone back up on Mount Sinai, and he's making intercession to God to plead on the behalf of these people to not destroy them, to don't leave them. And what God has said, he agreed that he would not do this. What he was going to do was now he was going to pull away from them. Since they've done this, he's going to pull back. His glory is not going to be there with them like it has been. And remember, his glory was with them. They knew where it was at. They knew, during the daytime, he was that cloud and a pillar of fire by night, and God's glory was there. That's what made them different from everybody else. Everybody knew it. That was their God. They knew that God was their God, and they were his people, and he protected them, and all these things he did for them. And so it was well known that they belonged to him. Well, he says, I'm going to withdraw myself. And what I'll do, so I won't destroy you, I'll send an angel to guide you into the promised land, but I myself am going to pull back. And so my glory is not going to be there with you. Well, Moses was very upset over this. God all along had promised that he was going to be with them. He'd never leave them. He wouldn't forsake them. They were his people. He was their God. And he was going to lead them into the promised land. So there was all these promises that he had made. And so Moses is not taking this well. And so he goes up to have this conversation with God. He's an intercessor. And he goes up there. And by the way, Moses in this picture is a type of Christ. You'll see out throughout all the Bible certain people that are types of Christ. They come and they intercede on behalf of other people. Moses is one of those, and he did that the entire time he led these people. And so God has said that he's going to kind of withdraw from them. His glory would not be there with them. He would not reveal himself from the tabernacle and all these things. He's just going to keep his distance, and that way he won't destroy them for their wickedness. That was his reprieve. Well, Moses, because of God's presence, he knew that this is the only way they'd made it that far. It was only because he was with them and his glory was there. And so Moses, if he's going to continue leading the children of Israel, continue doing this job, he needs to have a conversation with the Lord and try to get some kind of assurance here of what's going to happen. And so he gets up there with the Lord, and you can't blame him, really, can you? I mean, wouldn't you want to have some kind of assurance knowing you were tasked with the greatest job in all the world, and it looked like the Lord was kind of pulling out, and he told him he was going to send an angel, but didn't say what angel or how that was going to work or who it was or anything like that. And so Moses is a little bit, he's confused, and he wants some kind of assurance. And so he goes up there, and look what he said to God in verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. You see, he told him, I'm going to send an angel, but you've not told me anything about this. And so, Lord, I need some understanding. He said, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And so he's reminding the Lord what the Lord's told him already. Because the Lord told him, you know, you found grace in my sight, and I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to allow you to do all these things. I know you by name. And so Moses is reminding him of this. Not that God needs reminding, by the way, but Moses is doing it. It's to help him. He says in verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So he's trying to, I guess you could call it a convincing. He's trying to convince God not to do this, what he's talking about, but that he would continue with them. He needs to be assured of this. And so he's appealing to God's good graces here. And so you may recall that God, like I said, he specifically chose Moses for the job. Moses didn't apply for this job. He didn't want the job, but the Lord called him to do it, and he did it. And now the Lord's telling him he's no longer going to go with him. He's going to withdraw his presence and send some angel. Well, this doesn't sit well. So Moses just tells God, you know, if I've really found grace in thy eyes and thy sight, then I need you to tell me a few things and let's set some things straight. And then he says, show me now thy way that I may know thee. In other words, I don't quite understand you, Lord. I need a deeper understanding. You need to help me here. I need to know you much better than I do. And so what he's asking here, he says, I need to know your ways. I need to know the way you're thinking, and I need to know what it is you're planning. I need to know all these things. So essentially, Moses just simply wants to know God. He wants to be closer to him. He's looking for some insight. It kind of reminds me of what Paul said over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul wanted to know Christ on such a level that he was intimate with Christ, know him that well. And that's the way Moses is. He's, God, I want to know you. You've brought us this far. God, key me in here. Clue me in here on more about you. I want to know more about you. I want to know your ways. I want to know how you think. I want to know how you're planning. I want to know all these things. And let me say tonight, that should be the desire of every Christian tonight, is get to know the Lord better and better. There's an old song we used to sing, I want to love him more, or I want to know him more and more and more. We kept singing that over and over. I want to know him more. And so we need to know the Lord more and more in a personal way, because our relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. And we need to have a relationship. I have a hard time saying the word relationship. Has anybody ever noticed that? I notice it a lot, because I'm the one who has a hard time with it. Relationship. That's hard for me to say. We all need that with Christ, a personal, one-on-one, intimate relationship. He's not just some person off in the distance. And a lot of people seem that way. Oh, he's high and holy and all that stuff, but he's over there, and I'm just over here. And we kind of keep him at a distance. We need him here. We need him in our presence. We need to know him better. We need to know him intimately and have a relationship with him. You can't have a relationship with somebody that you're not close to. If you were going to get married to somebody, you wouldn't leave them off in some other place and you stay here. You need to be close to them so you can find out about them and know them more and more. And so that's what Moses is seeking here. And you know, many people, the only time they seek after God to get to know something about him is when they're in need. And I find that in a lot of people today that claim to be Christians. The only time you hear them talking about the Lord or wanting to have anything to do with the Lord is when they're in a deep distress. Some kind of problem has come up in their life. And a lot of people are just satisfied with just having some kind of air of being religious. You know, they like to say, I'm a Christian, or I belong to such and such church, or, you know, I'm not one of those fanatics or anything like that. A lot of people say, I'm not fanatical or anything like those people at Highland or nothing. You know, I don't go every time the doors open or anything like that. I'll go when I can and all, but, you know, it's no big deal to me. And a lot of people approach the Lord that way. They don't want to know him that close unless something bad happens. And then they go seeking after the Lord. And it lasts just about long enough until whatever is wrong in their life gets corrected. Some people act like God's some kind of genie in a bottle, you know. Something bad goes wrong, they want to get it and they want to rub it and say, Lord, grant me 3 wishes, make this go away, you know. And as soon as their problem's gone, then they put the bottle back in the shelf and they don't get it back out again until something else bad happens. Well, we need to have an intimate, close relationship with Christ. Not just a little bit of head knowledge, but we need heart knowledge. You need to have Christ in your heart. Verse 14 of our text says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, Moses now has asked the Lord to help him, give him all this insight and all. And so God gives him this assurance, well, my presence will go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. But he doesn't go into any very deep details or anything. That's not good enough for Moses. He needs to know more.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.